The Sentai Review, Episode 35, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 1, Volume 1 Review. Okay, welcome to Sentai Review. I guess that's what we're calling the show. Today is, it's a little interesting. So, William Bush, Reploid Bill.
Sud Level Saria.
Scott Action Jackson.
Shane McCree, Proto Guy.
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. Alright guys, I'll leave you alone. Now, I realize that we keep talking robots and yada yada and reviews and stuff, but I thought that we would try something. I thought we would break off here for one episode. And for this Sentai review, we are going to talk the first season of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Volume 1 DVD set.
Oh boy.
So we are discussing episodes 1 through 30. That's Day of the Dumpster all the way to the Rockstar.
Damn, we are breaking monotony here.
Yes, Bill?
I was seeing if you had something to say. I was looking at you.
I could tell. it's a lot of episodes, so I was just like trying to process it.
It's only 30.
I know.
What are you going to do when we do the Dragon Ball Z podcast? You have to talk about 36.
It's funny because it's true.
But I remember everything from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Whoa. That's impressive.
Thank you.
I'm impressed.
You don't look impressed.
But I am.
I can't tell.
No, it's true.
Same monotone voice doesn't change. You know? Oh.
So, since we're discussing Sentai stuff, and I thought we would talk about the American series here, we're going to go through reviews of the American series. We're going to give chances to everybody to be able to watch the Japanese series so we can come back and talk Sentai and everything. So, we're talking, let's just start right off the bat. Day of the Dumpster, okay. She was in a dumpster, Shane?
For how many
10,000 years in our series.
On the sunny moon, Mars
thing. That was close to Earth. That was quite a bright...
If you're watching that scene real close, whatever they're on is not the moon.
Yeah.
Because you can see the Earth and you can see Earth's moon in the shot.
I actually never paid attention to it that much.
So they're on sort of like planet in between Earth and Mars or something.
But still, the planet's so freaking close.
Apparently nobody cares. But...
And yeah, the planet is awfully close because you could see a big blue Earth.
Yes, when the episode starts off, it shows these Japanese astronauts, because they didn't hide it very well. they find this they're walking on whatever they're on planet, whatever
moon-like
planet.
We're gonna call it
Moonit.
Moonosphere. It's the Moonosphere from now on.
I'm going to call it Soundstage 57 and Area 51.
It's definitely the Moonosphere.
So they're walking, and one of them notices this weird-ass dumpster-looking thing.
Oh, look, something's glowing in the background.
And so, unidentified object.
I have to say right off the bat, why did they call it a dumpster? It looks like a giant pot or something, like an old ceramic pot.
I had no clue why they called it a dumpster, but you know,
probably because
when you go to a alien rock,
Moonosphere,
the smartest thing to do is to open the strange pot dumpster.
Yeah, though they found.
Oh, let's open it. Let's not investigate. Let's just open it.
We have no clue what's in here.
I think the other thing that bothers me is that do they already know that life exists outside of Earth? Like, do they know in that universe? And the reason I ask is because later on in space, we're introduced to the idea that humans live in space. You get what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
And the way the Power Rangers even got to space was that Zordon left a spaceship for Nazca to use, Nazda, or whatever their NASA-esque corporation is.
Right. I'm not really sure on that, but when the guys open up the pot dumpster,
Babu comes out.
Sound more like something that you'd find in, like,
Cheech and Chong,
Colorado, where it's a pot dumpster.
Pot dumpster.
Well, when they open it, these lights all go, like, these orb lights all fly around and freaking, Goldar,
Squad and Babu,
and Rita.
Yeah. Rita comes out last.
Yeah.
Right, but those are the people that emerge.
It's Finster. Oh, Finster. Goldar.
Okay, I have actually had a problem with that. I watched the other people come out of the dumpster, quote unquote, but I never see Finster come out of the dumpster. He's just standing in the sand all of a sudden.
Well,
like he was like on the moonosphere, and he was like, "Oh shit, somebody finally opened it and walked over to see what they were doing."
And just slowly put himself in the shot. Yeah. Like, I've been here the whole time.
Because Squat and Babu get out.
So does Goldar.
Goldar gets out, or at least it's implied. You could tell that he just climbed out.
And then you see Finster,
and they help Rita out. But then Finster is already standing in the sand behind Rita, like, "Oh hey guys. I've been waiting for that dumpster to open for 10,000 years."
Yeah, and so that's, and then, you know, the astronauts freak out and run away.
And Rita's like, "Oh, let me blow up this dumpster thing."
And then, yeah, she turns around and blows up the dumpster so she can never be trapped in that again. And then she's now talking about taking over Earth, which is conveniently right behind
her. Over the closest planet.
And
Earth! Yeah, she doesn't actually say she's taking over.
I know, she says she'll take over the nearest planet.
Here's another thing. She was imprisoned by Zordon 10,000 years ago in a dumpster, dick, has grown onto the moonosphere, which he probably could have sent her a little further out.
Yeah, that was some lazy shit. because it was literally like, "I'll take over the next planet." Well, convenient.
Yeah, she says, because she's not looking for revenge. She's been in a dumpster for 10,000 years, and she says, "Ah! Where are you going? You'll miss my coming out party, where I destroy the closest planet." And she turns around, and it's Earth. And she's like, "Oh, shit, whoa.
Well, look at that.
I kind of figured I would be a lot further away."
Huh. Zordon got a little lazy.
He was just like,
"Man, bad aim."
He was like, "You're in that dumpster?
She'll never escape the moonosphere, Alpha. Calm down.
Aye, 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 aye."
Play with your damn teddy bear.
Wow, that's ironic? No, a convenient plot device.
Zordon! What is it, Alpha? Rita's escaped. Shit!
Yeah, he's like, "We should have sent her to a different moonosphere.
Should have launched your ass into the sun where nobody would have found her."
Zordon, that was your own damn fault.
Yeah.
Sorry,
we all make mistakes in life. We learn from them.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm in a tube.
Yeah, he's.
I'm learning.
He's an interdimensional being caught in a time warp controlled by a computer system, or at least communicated by a computer system with a robot buddy.
Didn't we make fun of
that? That has a teddy bear, by the way.
Didn't we make fun of that like it was some kind of like Wizard of Oz thing where Oz was behind the curtain?
Yeah.
And
that would have been
great. Well, because the movie is completely non-canon. It's not even done by the same people.
Yeah, because,
it's literally a Hollywood
production. Because in the movie, when the tube breaks,
he's in the tube,
and he's like dying. I'm like, dude, that's got to suck.
When the Green Ranger showed up and was fucking everybody up, and we were like, "We need Zordon, our shit doesn't work, the power's off." He's laying in the tube like, "These damn kids, if they'd shut up, I could get some sleep in this tube."
Yeah, but then when they were trying to, like, contact
Zordon him, needs his Odin sleep.
We even made fun of it to a point
Zordon needs his Odin sleep.
Oh, shit, he's in the Odin sleep.
He's in the Zordon sleep.
He's not waking up anytime soon.
And actually, he does have a Zordon sleep because there is an episode where the Rangers have to deal with it without him because he he goes away. Like, he tells Alpha, he's like, you need to charge and I need to take this chance to rest.
Right.
And then, like, he shuts down.
Well,
and
that whole Green Ranger episode where he's ripping up the controls and Zordon's gone and Alpha and them are trying to get Zordon
back. I like
back.
How Zordon's like, no, stop. Do not do that. Damn it.
If I was Zordon, I mean, if I was Tommy.
What are you doing? Get away from that computer.
If I was Tommy, he'd be
like, don't check my history. Don't check my history.
Don't check my history.
I should have told Alpha to clear my fucking history on the internet.
I can explain that.
Please do.
What's this? The Green Ranger's like, and before I destroy you, I'm gonna download your history. And he puts in the disc and he's like,
oh my god!
What the shit is going on? I'm stuck in a tube. You know how long it's been?
What's it do for you? Because you're just a floating head.
I'm interdimensional. In a time warp. In a tube.
Well, when he's ripped
in this current, so lucky that
we also made fun of
in this dimension, in this time,
where they were trying to get a hold of him again, and they couldn't get him back on the tube. And
he has a circle TV, circle viewing globe.
Yeah, what makes it funny that
they actually watch TV. There's episodes where they go in, and Alpha's watching the news on this friggin' movie sphere.
Well, they were trying to get Zordon back because
that's
because
you
the
can
control,
only watch so
the control,
much TV while
the,
hanging out at
the
juice
command center
bar.
Was destroyed by Tommy came in and ripped everything up. If let's say that Zordon was on the other side, on some other planet or some trap somewhere, and he's like, we're trying to get a hold of Zordon, and he's like,
what if Zordon was a prevert? Because have you noticed the viewing globe? Whenever he wants to see anything, he's just like, okay, Rangers, turn your eyes to the viewing globe. And they'll turn around and they'll see like Trini in the privacy of her own bedroom sitting there looking at her doll or Mr. Sniffle Whiskers doll or whatever. And he's like, that doll turned into a monster. And I'm like, excuse me. And Zordon's like, yes, Bill. And I noticed this is footage from earlier, right? Yes. This is in her room? Yes. The viewing globe can see anything, Will. Moving on. No. No, we're not moving on. Hold on.
Well,
what other things?
We're not done with this topic yet.
Things has the interdimensional being in a time warp witnessed through the viewing globe?
2 hours, and it goes 2 hours prior. Alpha. Show me Kimberly's room. He's sitting there. Oh yes,
that's good, Alpha.
Record that.
You can go recharge now. I'm busy.
Alpha, what time is it? Why, it's 7 o'clock, sir. Go to Kimberly's bathroom. Go charge.
It's so creepy. He can see anything he wants to see at any time. And then the bad guys somehow surprise him, but it's very obvious that he'll be like, turn your eyes to the viewing globe. And they'll look over and they can see exactly what Rita was doing this morning. I'm like, now wait a second. How did she spring this surprise attack on us if you literally have a front row seat to every single thing she discusses in her main chamber?
Simple, Bill. I was busy watching Jerry Springer.
What'd be great, though, is I would test it out. I'd be like, listen, Zordon, you told me to look at the viewing globe and I see my team right there. This is being recorded, right? This is earlier? Yes. Hey, Jason? What is it, Shane? This shit's live. This shit is live, Zordon. Live. You are peeping on us all throughout the day. So am I taking a shit?
What? You think I was going to bring 5 teenagers with attitudes into this room? And not
No, I thought... Well, first off, sir, we're teenagers. You're a pedophile.
No, I'm an interdimensional being caught in a time warp.
You are a pedophile.
I am not bound by your puny rules.
I'm going to turn you off.
No, don't touch that console. I can't do shit about it.
Like I said, if
no,
I
no, Shane, don't enter that door.
Oh, shit.
I open the door and there's Sauron sitting there.
Close that.
Close that. Wait, wait.
No,
did you just
no.
pull some Wizard of Oz you, shit on him?
You literally, you open the door and he's in there, and like this little weird blue bulb dude is in there, and he looks over and he just kind of reaches out and closes the door. And then all of a sudden, the Zordon head up there was like, "Pay no attention to that man in the side room,
Alpha. What?
He's my assistant,
Alpha. Who's in there?
He fixes Alpha.
He sounds a lot like you.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No.
Yep.
Impossible. I'm interdimensional."
I think
existing only in this dimension, caught in a time warp at this exact time.
I think you're just some dude sitting, a creepy dude sitting in a room, projecting your head on a big tube while you peep on us.
You know what I think?
Inaccurate.
Is great? We've already spent 15 minutes and we haven't gotten past episode one.
Well, none of that shit we were talking about, by the way, except for what I was explaining earlier, does. Everything else does not happen in episode one where he's peeping on people.
And this was supposed to be the Robo review.
Oh, shit.
So.
This is awesome.
You know, so basically.
This is going to be a two-parter at like three
Rita
hours
Rita attacks
apart.
The planet. Zordon tells, you know, Alpha to, you know, we need to find five teenagers overbearing and over-emotional teenagers, and Alpha's like, no, not teenagers.
I think my other problem with that is he didn't search the world for five teenagers. He was like, take them, they're all standing next to one another.
actually, before that happened, it cut to the Angel Grove fruit and juice gym bar thing.
Yes, Ernie's right. Ernie's
Barn Grill, whatever.
But that's what I mean. All five of the teenagers are already conveniently hanging out together, standing in the exact same spot. And my other problem, the five teenagers he picked to defend the world were the five dumbasses not running from the earthquake.
Yeah, everybody was running, and those five were standing there like,
when the earthquake happened,
they huddle up in the middle like, what's going on?
Yeah, the entire building is coming down around them. Everybody runs. Those five idiots just stand in the middle of the room like, this is a big one.
And then that's when they're like, wait, something feels weird. What the shit?
And then they teleport. Yeah. So like.
And you know what's funny? You know what's funny? Remember when they landed, the very first time they landed in the command center, right? And they're all looking around like, where are we? And they see Alpha.
Technically, I got to stop you there. They didn't land. They fell.
Yeah, they fell.
Yes. So they when they get into the command center, they all fall on their ass because they don't know what just happened. They look around the command center like, where the hell are we? And they go up to this. They go up to this robot, and Billy's like in its face, like, what's going on? Look at this. Look at this thing. And then Alpha fucking starts moving, and they all freak out. And Zordon, who was just not but 2 minutes ago on the tube, and then he appears just to prove that he's some kind of mystical entity.
Well, you see, he was in a different dimension for one moment. He had to come back.
Greetings, humans.
Yeah. Right.
I needed to take a leak in another dimension.
In a different time. Warp.
So look, there's a floating head. So then, you know, they talk about how, and it's a real quick, like, rundown. Yo, bad guy, powers, fight.
Yeah, he's just like, humans, Rita Repulsa, morphers, turn them to the sky, dinosaurs. And they're all like, what the fuck?
Look at the viewing globe.
You,
see
black
that woman
kid.
Riding a bike?
You, black kid, you will be the Black Ranger. Oh. You, Asian girl, you will be the Yellow Ranger. You, cliche nerd boy, you will be the Blue Ranger.
Attractive girl,
yeah.
Pink.
Attractive prissy girl, you will be the Pink Ranger.
You.
Jockey kid, you will be the Red Ranger. Now wait the fuck a minute.
Wait a minute. Did you just, were you racist there? No.
Stereotype the hell out of this room.
No. If you notice, look at the shirts you are wearing. Those are your colors.
Oh yeah, we do. For some reason, we already dress to our stereotypes anyway.
Did you realize that every episode we wear our colors just to make so?
What do their closets look like?
Well, Jason's is all red, and, you know, Kimberly's is all pink.
Well, to bring up a joke that's mentioned in later series, Tommy Oliver shows back up as Professor Oliver, and all of a sudden he goes, man, I'm going to have to go out and get me some black shirts.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty good. So then, you know, obviously, these teenagers...
We're not going to do this. Bye.
Yeah, they went from a freaking juice bar to the middle of the desert. That's where the command center is located.
Yeah.
And then a floating head tells them that they need to save the world and gives them these weird fucking belt buckles and says that they were going to give you powers. They're, like, not buying it. So they leave.
They start walking out.
That's funny because he brings them there. And now, and Zordon's like, they're leaving.
They don't know where the fuck they are.
Well, when they leave, Zordon's like, fuck them. I ain't sending them back.
He doesn't send them back.
Like, enjoy your walk.
And they're like, guys, do you have any clue where we are?
No, yeah, they're in the middle of a freaking desert.
Yeah.
So then Rita's like, look, kids, send putties. And then the putties attack.
Oh, hold on. I want to mention something real quick. You just mentioned the putties. Now, how did they make the putties?
Out of clay, and they put them in this machine.
That's what I'm getting. That's my question.
Space clay.
You just did it. The machine. That is the greatest, most awesome machine ever built in the history of machines. That machine is over 10,000 years old with no preventative maintenance of any kind. And they just walked back up to the Moonosphere base, pulled the lever, and it worked.
Never really thought about it.
Yeah, it did need oiling. Every time they
make a monster or make putties out of it, the damn thing shakes like it looks like it's going to fall apart at any second.
But it's built awfully sturdy. It's 10,000 years old at least.
So after the putties attack, you know, they're all like, "Oh my god, what's going on?"
Caterpillar equipment don't even last 10 years.
So they all
this thing lasts 10,000?
No. So when the putties attack, They kind of fight. Jason and Zach fight while Billy ducks and pushes and...
Wait. And then he takes off his glasses and puts them up. Okay, I'm ready.
And then putties come up from
behind
him.
And then Kimberly and Trini kind of...
Prissy fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, they... I'm sorry. They quote-unquote... girl fight. Like the most cliche 1990s slap pushing fight ever.
Now, after the putties kind of beat their ass and they threw them on the ground, each of them did, I think Jason out of all of them overacted.
He was the last one to fall down.
He was the last one to fall down, but he kept spinning.
He fell down hardcore.
Yeah, he was like spinning real hardcore. I'm like, really? That's a little overacting.
He got knocked.
And then they're all like, what do we do? And then he looks down, he's like, well, let's just see if these damn things work. Why not? And then they morph, and all of a sudden, they're in a city.
They're immediately transported to the city. But here's the thing that I get a kick out of. Like, that means that from now on, there's a squadron of putties that were never dispatched that are just kind of hanging out around the command center.
True, because...
They're just wandering the desert around the command center.
The second they morph, they got... Zordon was like, Goldar's attacking the city, teleport them. And they get teleported to the city, and then those
because the
like,
putties oh, don't teleport.
The putties
they were
like,
already in the city.
The putties are like,
huh?
Alpha, go take care of those putties that's
like,
outside.
Like what are the putties? The putties are like, well, what do we?
Should we attack that?
What do we do now?
I mean, there's just a head and a robot in there.
Maybe they come back in the next episode.
And they can't get in. They don't have power coins, and they're not strong enough to break the doors. So. All the putties do is wander around the desert. There's a squadron of like 12 putties still wandering the Angel Grove Desert to this very day. They never dispatched them.
I think they might have got wiped out when Zordon got...
Oh, I guess the Z-Wave or whatever would have killed them. But for like six seasons, there was a group of 12 putties just wandering around
the
desert.
You got to think.
And you know what's sad is technically they could have died since they're wandering around the desert from all the tarantulas and the scorpions and all the other.
I don't think they eat.
They're made of clay.
No. That's what I was about to say. They could have died.
Yeah.
But the problem is because they're made out of clay, they just kind of walk up.
Well, it would be great, though, if, like, Rita and Zed, when Zed shows up and they're like, we're out of everything. What do we do? And Rita's like, I don't...
What is that? There's just putty. Why are there putties in the desert? Like,
oh right.
Send those all we got left. Send them. And they get like.
And they would be all like fat, out of shape, disformed, melted putties for being in the sun. They wouldn't be able to fight anymore. How many years? That's like 6 year old.
And they're like, they get
desert
sent,
putties.
They get sent right in front of the Rangers, and they're like,
they don't even make the right noises anymore. They're just like,
actually, technically, they would be skinnier than hell because you know, if there's like a giant sandstorm, they're getting sandblasted to death.
They'd
start being eaten away by sand, but I mean, right. That'd be about it.
And then they make Goldar into a hardcore bitch in our series.
Very true.
Like,
until they get big.
No, even then they knock him over with the tank, and then they swing the sword. No, they don't swing the sword.
No, they get the sword.
The sword falls down, they pick it up, and he's like, fuck that, and he leaves. He didn't even...
That's what I want to talk about. I noticed that... When the Megazord assembles itself and they call down the Power Sword and the Power Sword comes down and hits the ground, if you notice, it happens every time. It tries to pick it up with the left hand.
And then it's like, oh, oops.
Can't do it. So then it, because it'll do it. You'll see it. It'll go like,
yep.
Nope, never mind. Well,
yeah, it really does. Every time.
Is this a sword and stone thing?
Yeah.
No, it's weird. Like, it'll reach out with its right hand. Kind of grab on the sword like this and then be like, oh, oops, fuck, I'm left-handed. And then it'll pick it up every time.
Yeah, it does it. I was like...
Yep.
I'm like, are they learning the controls? Like, fucking son of a
No, because
bitch.
They said when they got in it, oh, I know how to control this somehow. It's second nature to me. Which is a problem with the powers I have. In the American series, it's obvious that the powers are imprinting memories and skills... from previous users, because Billy all of a sudden is a fighting champion, from hug ducking to fighting champion in less than 4 minutes, and he's also piloting a giant mech, and shortly after the use of the powers, he's even more intelligent to the point where he's able to build transporters and interdimensional devices.
You know... I want to talk about the mechs for a second.
And a two-way
I made fun of it. I made fun of it once when they called their Zords. And like, we need dinosaur power now! And like, you'll see the Tyrannosaurus come out of the freaking ground. Right? Yeah. We don't know where that's at. It could be pretty close to where they're at, right? Well, unless there's a volcano near Angel Grove, there's where the pterodactyl comes. The Triceratops is, comes from the desert. Where the command center is.
No.
Then you got like a weird jungle. All of a sudden, a weird jungle where the saber-toothed tiger was. I felt bad for Zach. His mammoth comes from the Arctic. So when everybody comes together, they're like, they jump in their swords, like, ready to combine. Zach's like, I'm waiting.
I'll be with you in a minute. Hold on.
Because a mammoth is like this. It's just moving super slow. And we're like,
No. That's just it. It might not be the Arctic. They might be either destroying Canada or up in Alaska every fucking time.
And he's just coming down.
And he's like, hold on, we're in California. I gotta wait a minute.
What if Angel Grove has a giant museum, like, where it has an ice display, and Zordon just hides the mammoth underneath?
You're telling me if I went to that museum, like, okay, so this is the mammoth exhibit, and all of a sudden, it's like,
yeah, just walks out
trips.
Of
school field trips daily to a fucking museum. Don't notice a fucking giant robot elephant
Here's the thing: every time the kids do start to notice it, like they're sitting around looking at the ice, like, what's that big metal thing? This blue head appears in the little explainy box window, and it's like, look away.
Look away.
So what?
Don't
he
look over
blacks
here.
Them, he just shows
so
up and hits
I'm
his
noticing that,
those wipes their memory.
Those mammoths all have hair. Why is that one made of metal?
The museum guy's like, shut up.
Shut up.
I don't get paid enough
doesn't even
to
answer
deal
their
with
question.
These kids.
I don't think there was metal in the Ice Age. How do you know? Were you there?
Yeah, exactly.
Were you there? Did you live there? No, you don't know.
Do you have a degree? I got a degree. Do you got a degree?
You're a security guard.
Like, I get what you mean. Like, the mammoth is so slow.
All five areas where the Zords come out, And all the, and it doesn't. And
do I like how it's a 2-minute segment to put the Megazord together, and the monster waits patiently.
Yeah, the monster's like
every episode.
Well, every time the monster goes,
and this
like,
is this is the first episode, right?
Yeah.
And mysteriously, they have all their Zords.
Yeah.
And
they already have a Megazord. They use it in the first episode. Well, and Goldar runs away because he's like, "Oh fuck, they got a sword."
Yeah, he doesn't. They don't even get to use it. They're like, "We need Mega." We need.
It's almost as dumb as that scene in Aladdin where the monkey gets the sword and all the soldiers are like, "He's got a sword," and only one guy was
idiots.
Like, "Are you fucking
we
kidding me?
We all have swords.
Yeah, we all have swords." Like Goldar was like, "Oh shit, that's not fair. He's got a sword."
It was funny. It was like, "He's got a sword." Better run.
Yeah.
Better run.
Better run. I know I have one too, but I'm gonna run.
I'm gonna run.
And I think it was funny because when they formed the mech after like Bill said, like 2 minutes of sitting there waiting for it, and they bring the power sword down, they pick it up, and they stand there. Goldar's like, "I'm out," and then they stand there like. That's right.
Yeah, we're just like, bitch.
Bitch,
we
are
you.
Badass.
Yeah. So, although, don't get me wrong, I guess that's where the running gag comes in later, because in some of the later fucking shows, it takes them, like, what, 2 minutes to actually transform into their fucking suits? Like, somehow they got to put up a graphic while everybody's like, "Oh, shit, hold on, my boot. Somebody's hit my boot."
Like, later on, like, okay, at the original, they just put the morpher out. Say a name. I'm willing to believe that the transformation is instantaneous, so they can't be attacked while they're doing it. And in Train Rangers, there's actually a really crazy thing where right before they train, they mark a territory and like this track goes down.
Get back. We're transforming.
No,
get back.
They can't go beyond it. I've watched the Sentai where if an enemy is beyond the track and they transform, the power of the transformation destroys the enemy standing
well,
past
I
that
always
gate.
Laughed at it because like
so that gate does stand a purpose. The enemies will see that gate come up and they'll back off on purpose.
But I find
like,
it funny.
That.
I made fun of it because I was like in Zeo before because when they say it's morphin' time, they turn their wrists and both morphers will appear on their wrist. Then they have to do the arm thing, and then connect them, and then make an X, and then bring it down to morph. And if I was like the enemy, it'd have been great for them to be like, "It's morphin' time," and they start doing it, and one guy goes up and punches them. He's like, "Knock it off!" He's like, "It's morphin' time! Knock it off! I gotta do this arm thing real quick! I can't just put it together! I gotta make a symbol in the air!
I gotta do this arm thing! Get the fuck off me!
Somebody get this fucker off me!"
You end up fighting like Zordon. No.
Zordon!
Don't do that.
Zordon, I can't morph. He keeps punching me.
Tell him to stop.
I did. Could you give me a...
Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself.
I don't have any experience with this type of shit. I just say stop. No. See if that works.
Dude, like I told you, if I was Tommy, I would have tested that. He'd have been like, stop. Beep. Knock it off. Beep. He'd be like, please stop touching the controls.
Damn it, my verbal commands are not working.
That's it, I'm going to another dimension.
How are the alien rangers doing?
This episode's like all about Zordon.
I must now enter the Zordon sleep because my verbal commands are not working.
Dude, when you mentioned the Odin sleep, that was hilarious.
When we leave Day of the Dumpster, we have high five, teamwork, a pressing engagement, different drum, food fight, big sister... The guy for whom the bell tolls. Happy birthday, Zach. No clowning around. Power Ranger punks. Peace, love, and woe. Which is actually cool because that's the Madam Woe episode. She was an awesome bad guy. She had that weird jewel in her head. She was all blue and creepy.
Oh, yeah, I remember that chick. Yeah.
Foul play in the sky. Dark Warrior, which is where Adam fought that dude alone. He had the axe and he got all messed up. Switching places. We just went through 16 episodes. Anything you want to mention?
In one of those episodes, I think it's Food Fight, that's like one of the lamest enemies I've ever seen.
The pig.
The pig whose arms are kind of coming out of its mouth.
Yeah. And you defeat it by feeding it.
Yep. So.
And he will eat anything, even if he knows it'll hurt him.
Yep, because he's fat.
So
isn't the pig monster one of the only ones that they don't actually kill in the Megazord? They just combine the weapons and shoot him with the gun and he's done?
There's actually a few of them. Not every monster grew that they had to get in the Megazord. Like, when they combined their weapons, especially the very first time they were able to combine their weapons, the monster just died.
It seems random whether or not the monsters live through it. Minotaur got hit by the gun thing, right?
I guess it depends on how strong it is.
The High Five episode. Back at the second episode, even though in the pilot episode, oh, guess what? The Megazords come together easily. The second episode is where they have... It's like, oh, guess what? We're first summoning the Tyrannosaurus. Dude, it came out easily before.
Well, he's talking about... In the High Five, Jason fights alone.
Right.
With the Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah.
That comes down to the way they cut the Sentai footage.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know why you stopped at 16.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
I know why you stopped at 16. I know we have to talk about something.
We have to talk about your two favorite characters.
Oh, yes. So, me and Bill have
the interdimensional and the time warp?
I have a theory.
Bill has a theory, and my theory is very simple. If Bulk and Skull are bullies like they say they are, you know, and they're always pushing people around and everything, I told Bill, like, I think those are two of the lamest bullies I've ever seen in my life, and if they ever came up to me and tried to bully me, I'd be like, go the fuck away. You're not threatening. You're a clumsy fat ass, and you're a moron.
Hear that? Shane would be like, no.
No.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Go away.
Go away.
I just love how you had to point to me for clumsy fat ass.
That was not...
Shit. Dude. Douche move.
Actually,
Be glad I'm not 100% if I could get all the liquid out of my can of drink over here. Otherwise, I'd peg you in the face with it.
The weird thing is... In the Lost pilot, the bullies are more threatening than Bulk and Skull is in the...
Well, Bill's going to break down his theory real quick, so here it is.
I don't think Bulk and Skull are bullies. I think they're victims of bullies. Specifically, 5 teenage dirtbag fuck-offs. Think about it. They're sitting at the juice bar. There are episodes where Bulk and Skull do not bully anybody. Like, there's one episode where, okay, it's true that they were acting a little shitty, and they came up and they were like, teach us how to beat people up. But rather than Jason actually instructing them and trying to teach them something, he just goes right into being an asshole like, okay, fat ass, sidekick. I'm not accepting you into my class. Do a sidekick, fat ass. So he does a sidekick, and he's like, oh, it's impressive. Fine. I'm doing the whirlwind kick right now. High grade friggin' move. Do this, fat ass. No instruction, no help, no good job, no encouragement, no martial arts isn't about fighting. Just do this whirlwind kick, bitch. So then he does it, and he falls on his ass, and rather than being like, see, there's a lot you have to learn about this. They just immediately go into laughing and pointing and slapping.
Every time something happens to Bulk and Skull, it's always them.
There's the episode at the juice bar where Bulk and Skull have not been in the episode at all. They're literally just trying to eat lunch. That's it. They're not bothering anybody. They're not causing trouble. They're sitting at the table to the side eating lunch, and Kimberly comes up and dumps a giant thing of chili on them. Just, ba-doo, oops, sorry, Bulk. Or like there's a time where Bulk actually does slip and falls into a counter and, like, breaks something. And rather than saying, are you okay, the manager dude is immediately like, fat ass, you gonna pay for that?
They get tortured and picked on. And when Bill explained this to me, I really started thinking about it. I'm like, wow. I mean, sometimes they start it to try to be the bullies, and that always backfires on them. And then the next thing you know, sometimes they don't do anything, and they're still getting messed with and teased and made fun of. And it's
actually, I know one situation like that. don't show up for a whole episode, come into the bar, get fruit thrown on them, look at each other, walk away.
Yeah. Yeah, that is an episode. They walk in, and as they walk in, something gets thrown at their face, and they don't get mad. They don't freak out. They just look at each other, and they're like, yeah, fuck us, and they just leave.
So,
because they're so used to being tormented and pushed around by these five douchebags that got it so damn good.
Good. Bill, explain who held the...
Bulk held the 1,000 reps record at the juice bar. Look, Bulk doesn't have that much, okay? You've already destroyed his self-esteem, drove him to eat every day, has no fucking friends except for one skinny kid who he was lucky to convince, and then, like, he does 1,000 reps and holds the record for reps at the juice bar. And Jason immediately, by the way, not of his own power, because it's very obvious that the Rangers' powers have made them stronger. They're stronger, faster, smarter, better equipped to deal with situations than any normal human, even in human form. And Jason goes over and in one day not only breaks the record, but he does like 900-something and then gets interrupted. And then he does like another 900-something reps. And the juice dude, Ernie, he loses count. And he's like, oh, sorry, can you start over? So he busts out another 1,000 reps. So he does 3,000 friggin' reps in one day and gets the record of 1,010 reps. And then puts the weights down, and he's like, that's right, now I got the record. And Bulk is like, fucking really? Why? Like, why was that so important? And he's like, yeah, well, I'm going to get that record back. That's what Bulk says, not knowing that he's competing with a Power Ranger that can do 3,000 reps. You do 3,000 reps of 20 pounds and tell me how you feel.
Sore.
And Bulk is going to have to try to take this record back, which was the only thing he had.
It's very true.
They don't have punk-ass parents or nothing like that. In the episode where you see their parents, the Bulk and Skull have the most normal parents of the entire group. Everybody else has some sort of cliche jockey parents or douchebag parents or business parents. Like, Bulk and Skull have two regular everyday working Joe parents that are just trying to make it. And they're the ones that are dogged every single episode. They are not the bullies in this situation.
You start feeling bad for them.
Hell, they became fucking cops!
That's very true, they did. They did become cops later.
Then they became chimps.
Yeah, and then they became invisible.
And then Skull's like, I'm leaving this shit. And Bulk's like, I'll be back.
So after failing 16 consecutive times, Rita decides she's going to use her power coin. Which, by the way, Zordon knew she had.
Well, of course, he can see everybody at all points in time. While they sleep, while they shit, while they eat, while they're jerking off.
She kidnaps a kid and gives him the green power coin and throws him under a spell to make him evil. And the whole time, like when he shows up in the command center, Zordon says, oh, the green power coin. Rita finally decided someone to give it to. I'd be pissed if I was one of the five Rangers that Zordon neglected to mention there was a sixth one out there who was stronger than all of us.
Rangers, you're doing an excellent job. FYI, maybe at some point down the road, there might be another Ranger. Nothing I can do.
And put a goddamn lock on the Megazord. There's a lock on the command center, damn it.
Oh, that's a great episode where they jump into the Megazord and Tommy jumps in there and he opens the back door.
Yeah. And they all look around like, what the fuck
it's
just
a great
happened?
Episode because they're all,
and isn't it Trini that turns around like, what the fuck? Because the door opens and he just punches her in the face.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, you're in a giant robot's head, and you're, like, looking this way.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the back door opens, and they all, like...
And all five of you are already in there.
Yeah, and then and this is a very... This isn't a very spacious...
It's very cramped in the Megazord.
And then,
yeah.
Tommy opens the back door, punches Trini in the face. Then, all of a sudden, you see the Megazord standing there, and the head is just, like, shaking back and
which
forth.
Which means they're getting thrown around
then,
in there pretty hardcore.
And the next thing you know, you just see the Rangers getting thrown out of their own Megazord.
Yeah, he just threw them out one by one like bitches.
And then he jumps down, he's like, yeah, we ain't having that.
He's got a shield, he can go invincible, he can grow.
Bill, let's talk about the overacting again.
Which part are you trying to reference here, buddy?
Here we're going to do a couple things. When Tommy plays the flute and he makes like a shield and the shield glows, Jason shoots him with his gun, right? And the shots bounce off, right? And then he lazily moves to the right.
Yeah.
And does it again like that's supposed to make it that's supposed to make a difference.
He was like, "Oh shit, it
and
didn't
then
work."
And then bounced back and hit him and he did his roll. I'm like, "You feel stupid, don't you?"
No,
you feel
shit.
Stupid. And then
he's like, "Doo-doo, that doesn't work.
And then
I'll move
and
over
then
here."
And then Tommy
and shoot the same spot.
And then when when Tommy has the dark
the evil sword
of darkness.
Yes, and Jason makes his sword blade glow, and he shoots a beam at it, and it knocks him out of his hands. The way it's edited is great, because the second Tommy loses his weapons, for no reason whatsoever, he does that, and he does a front flip.
Yeah,
no reason for it.
And there's no sparks, and we know by Ranger logic, if you're hit, the sparks happen because the power field dissipates. So that means all that happened was he dropped his weapons and he was like, shit! And then he like flips forward, lands on his back, and then stares at his hands in agony.
It's some overreacting. It is terrible.
If I was Jason, I'd have been like, I'd have looked at my sword like, damn! Like, I'm a badass.
I need to do that move more often.
Yeah, he never does it again. Never does it again. And he can hurt some hands with that move, and he never does it again.
Goldar could come at him, and he'd be like, no, but Goldar would be like, oh, shit.
How come Goldar ran away when he's seen a sword from a Megazord, but when Jason's like, pew, I got a sword, he's like, I don't give a fuck, I got a sword.
Because that's a bigger sword.
It's a power sword. They're even named the same thing.
Power sword.
We need the power sword.
But the power sword...
Zordon.
Is the size of a building.
Alpha, send them the sword of power.
And then the power sword falls on the ground, and the Megazord's like, ching! Oh, fuck, that's right, I'm left-handed. Every time.
Every time. I kept watching them like...
You really can't figure this out?
What?
Like, who's controlling
like,
the
I can
hand?
Maybe I can understand the very first time.
Who controls the left
like, you're
hand?
You're talking like
30
episodes later. They're like, shit. They're like... And you know,
is Zach controlling the left hand?
Well, the arms are his Zord.
I would start getting pissed every time that happened. If I was the leader, I'd look over and I'd be like, "Stop it! Fucking, you know now. It's been 40 goddamn episodes. Pick the fucking thing up."
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Other times it appears that he catches the sword, too.
Yeah.
How can you catch the sword, but then when it lands on the ground...
That's also confusing, too, because the sword comes out this way, as if it's like it's like pincing to the ground.
Boink.
And somehow he catches it by the handle, and it's right side up.
I also noticed that when the sword lands in the ground, it lands in the same spot every time.
No, it's like Rita's wand.
Yep. Same spot every time.
Make my monster grow.
Like, magic wand, make my monster grow. And when she throws it down the first time, I was like, okay, that's cool.
Then
when she
she's like, Goldar, go get it.
And every time she did it, every time she throws the wand, it's like, I like that spot. That's my spot. That's where I'm going to throw my wand. And it doesn't matter if you're in the
I'm
city.
I'm evil, but I'm going to make sure that it lands out in the middle of
and
nowhere.
Then when the monster
maybe she has OCD. Obsessive compulsive wand throwing disorder.
She's like,
what if she threw it and it didn't land there? She'd be like, "Fuck, Goldar, go get it."
But the monster needs it to. I don't care. Go get it.
I need the wand to be right there. I can't grow a monster.
Can you imagine that though? It'd be like, if Goldar goes down there, he's like, He picks up the wand. He's like, now move it 2 feet to the left. And he's like, no, back.
Okay, right. Now stab it in the ground. Now tilt it back a little bit.
No, that's too far. No, that's too little, far.
Okay, right?
Right there.
All
right,
okay. Now grow!
Which is probably what gives them the time so Zach can get his fucking mammoth in.
And
so
the whole time the mammoth is walking to the battlefield.
While everybody else is sitting in there like listening.
And
to the
Rangers are looking like, is this really happening? Like,
and then, you know, you can see the rest.
Maybe
of
we should combine the Zords. I mean, we've got time.
I mean, we won't have any arms, but I mean, shit, we could still
everybody's
do something.
Like, everybody's like freaking like in their Zords, just like rocking out to music, and Zach's like.
Well, remember, the pterodactyl does have a killer sound system.
Oh, God.
She said so.
I know.
God. I completely forgot. So, yeah, but...
Anyway, hands explode, flip. Oh, Tommy's a good guy now.
Yeah, because the sword gets destroyed. He's like, oh, I'm sorry.
And then they're like, it's no problem.
Friends? Friends.
Now let's go all be friendly with Zordon.
And he walks into Zordon's like, I am so sorry. It's fine. I told you no.
And then he says, in order to keep this power, as if I could take it away from you, is in order to keep this power, you must never use it for personal gain. I don't know, 3,000 motherfucking reps in a day. Going to the Peace Corps and fucking getting all these awards and shit. Winning races and doing martial arts tournaments off of very much, without a doubt, the knowledge given to you by the powers from previous fighters.
You guys are the... And he's like, to keep these powers, like you said,
you can watch the show.
Game.
You can watch the show and see that their fighting is better. Watch that first episode. Watch how they fight. Then watch the Green with Evil episode 1 and see how Jason fights.
He's way better.
He's way better. So and that's not from... He didn't train for 16 days and get that much better.
So then you look at it like... He tells him, you know, you can't never use the powers for personal gain.
No one can ever know who you are or you lose the power. Well, SPD? They were public.
The ending of space?
Yeah, the ending of space.
That's a lie. Zordon was like, I just don't want people to know who you are, and it's not like I can do anything. I'm ahead.
Right. Rangers, I just want you to be my own personal reality show. don't tell anyone.
I'm going to lay down some rules that I cannot enforce.
And because the rest of them do it.
I will enforce them by telling you, stop that.
And when Tommy joins the team, he's like, and one other thing, because your team does it, check the viewing globe. And he turns around and is like, you see those two kids? Pick on them.
Yeah.
Pick on them.
Tommy immediately goes into going out of his way. Like, there are episodes where they go out of their way to screw these kids up. Remember when they started saying, I'm going to figure out who the Power Rangers are?
Yeah.
And they actually did real detective work. They took footprints, did like boot analysis, voice configuration. They recorded like a fight. They got on a battlefield, recorded a fight, and then did the voices. And then there was one time when they actually got it. They had a video camera set up to record a putty fight. And the Rangers morphed during the fight. And Bulk and Skull got the videotape. They didn't watch it. They just knew that it was on during the fight. And they went to the school and they were like, we have right here the actual evidence of who the Power Rangers are. And before they could put it into the VCR, Zach finds a way to break the tape
right in front of him. He swaps the tape.
Yeah.
With Billy, yeah.
He, like, screws him over, swaps the tape, and then they show some stupid video and look like idiots and get even more demoralized.
And all the Rangers do is laugh, and Zordon's like, that's what it takes to be a Ranger.
Actually, yeah. There is one other time that they discover who the Rangers are. But I forgot if it was during the Mighty Morphin or if it was during, like...
It's Mighty Morphin, but then their memories are forcibly erased.
Yeah, it's like...
Jerks.
You kind of feel bad for these kids.
Let's see, we have... After that, we have the trouble with Shell Shock, which is that turtle with the light stoplight on his head.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Itsy Bitsy Spider, the... Bitflower. I don't even know what that one was. I can't remember that episode. Life's a Masquerade. Gung Ho. Wheel of Misfortune. And then The Island of Illusion, Part 1 and 2. That's where they were sent to the island, and if they couldn't face their self-doubt,
yeah,
they like erased from existence.
But if they could, they get personas.
That would be broke as shit.
That really would.
Power Ranger Neo Featherman. That's what that is. Neo Featherman is the Power Rangers.
I know. It's pretty sweet.
And then the final one for this season volume was The Rockstar.
Well, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to tell you that I don't remember every episode. And I think, especially in the first volume, I think the best episodes were obviously Green with Evil.
That's pretty simple.
Yeah, it's a five-part episode, but the way they did it...
It was an event back then, too, because Rangers was on every day, which means you started that event Monday, and you got to see it. By Friday, you knew it was resolved. So every single day, you were at school like, son of a bitch, Power Rangers today.
Yeah, I actually remember that.
Yeah, it was on
like
Fox.
That entire week I had zoned out of school. I was like, I just want to get home and watch Rangers.
They basically made the fucking five-part episode like a movie, almost.
In fact, there's a cut, there's a secondary DVD release.
Where it's just that.
Yeah, it's just Green with Evil cut to run like a movie.
Because I think on this volume one, it's kind of, I think the last episode's on a separate disc.
Let me see here. Because, what happens is episode 1 through 4 is on disc 2, and then disc 3 is episode 5.
Yeah. So it's still a cock tease.
Yeah. So.
Get there. Oh. Yeah. Change discs. What? No! Blu-ray, motherfucker, Blu-ray! One disc!
Well, I tell you that, But, you know, those were the best episodes in Volume 1, easily. So
I agree.
Yeah, but
easily.
The pilot's also like a milestone of the season to start off, so...
I didn't have an issue with Day of the Dumpster, because that's how it started. You know...
Apparently we had several issues, because it took us a half an hour to get through
the
first
episode. We made fun
of
it. It doesn't matter if we...
We got a lot more Zordon talk coming in our Volume 2, I'm positive.
No! Stop! Stop, no!
Don't make fun of me. I can't do anything about this.
Rangers,
I need you
to go in and kill them with the Megazord.
I'm tired
of
this shit.
They're talking about me.
I'm going to go to another dimension if you don't quit.
Ay-yi-yi-yi-yi!
In a different time.
Yeah, you go with him.
Alpha, we got to do the time warp.
Oh my god.
Again.
Hold on. Okay, now I feel better.
Really?
He's stuck in a time warp, he's stuck in the dance all the time.
Simple. Oh my god, you just did that during our Power Rangers. Oh my god.
So,
we might want to stop this so I can use my knife.
Because we are coming up to our hour, so
yeah.
This has been Zordon Talk.
Yeah, this kind of was a Zordon episode.
Zordon.
So
let us know what you think about this, some comments, because we are actually thinking about going through the entire seasons as I'm able to get the DVD sets, and I'm going to start either collecting or making my own DVD cuts of the Japanese ones so that we can watch through that and talk about those also so we can do comparisons. So if you thought this was a good episode, let us know. If you didn't really care for how this went, we're still doing the Robos. We haven't left that. I just thought that we would test this in between the Robos. So we might do like two or three Robo reviews and then talk about the series and two or three
Experiment.
Robo reviews and so
yeah.
on and so forth.
And feel free to send us some more Zordon jokes.
Yeah, you can write your own personal Zordon jokes in the comments below. I'd love that. So, yeah.
No, stop. Don't do that.
We're gonna phase out to another dimension for like five episodes. Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomNight.com.
At FandomNight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomNight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.